Right. I want to invite you back to your seats. Happy New Year, everybody. 2025, is that not just like blowing your mind right now? Come on, we get to do this. We get to step into a new season, a new year with anticipation, with hope. I love that Bible word, hope. It means confident and joyful expectation of a desired good. In other words, there is a good outcome on the other side of this. Never forget, I was in, we were in Leaper's Fork, but where I saw it was in Franklin, Tennessee at Puckett's. Puckett's is one of our favorite. Now, if you're from the South, you know what a meat and three is. Anybody know what a meat and three is here? We've got a handful of folks here, Mr. Tennessee right here. But we love Puckett's, and we'd go to Puckett's and eat meat and three, which is basically chicken fried steak and three veggies and lots of rolls. And that was kind of just earthy, great place to eat. And I remember we were in there one day, and I saw these coffee mugs, which were great, and said Puckett's on one side. On the other, it said Igbok. I was like, Igbok? I mean, it did exactly what it was designed to do. It made me question, like, what is Igbok? Igbok, and it, right below it in small letters in the ceramic mug, Igbok means everything's going to be okay. And family, you need to know that today. Whatever the world is saying right now, folks, here's something I know. I'm just going to speak into this just in love. Remember, I speak the truth because of love. Not just in love, but because of love. But every year about this time, it gets foggy all over the United States. I don't know if you've noticed. I'm about to turn 60. Boy, it got real quiet. I'm about to turn 63 in just a few days at the end of this month. And I'm not getting older. I'm getting better like a fine wine. Amen? Yes. I live in wine country, so I'm going to use that and stand on that truth. But here's the thing. Every year of my existence, about this time of year, it starts getting foggy in the mornings. And did you know that every time or every year when it rolls around, people start getting sick? Have you ever noticed that? People get the flu. People get, you know, different things. They get sore throats. They get fevers. They get hay fever. They get cedar fever lately around here. Listen, we have got to keep our heads about us. The world is looking at us and looking to us for leadership. They're looking at us to walk in wisdom. They're not looking at us to be Chicken Little, running around saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. The sky's not falling. The last I checked, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Amen. Last I checked, he's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to say, keep your wits about you. And don't get spun up in all the news feeds, the legacy media, the mainstream media. You do know they design headlines. Breaking news. Breaking news. You knew what that's for. It's so you will click on their title. And so you'll look. And they'll give you just enough to hook you like a fish. Amen? Yeah, but do I speak the truth right now? Yes. Remember, it's in love and because of love. But don't be numbered among the ones who fall in the black hole of doom scrolling and living in that world of being spun up. The human heart was not designed by God to handle all the stuff that comes to us on these screens. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I'm not knocking news. I'm not knocking using a phone. I'm not opposed to any of that. But I just submit to you that we need to keep our wits about us and keep our heads about us. Amen? I mean, I walked outside the other morning. It was foggy. And did you know that if I would have taken, this is early, like before the sun comes up, if I would have taken a high beam flashlight and pointed it up there would be a lot of particles going around there. It's called water vapor, okay? So I want to encourage you to not get caught up in the mania that's happening in the news feed right now. We're a few days out from the inauguration, and I don't know about you, but I'm somewhat excited about that, okay? It's okay to be excited about that. I am excited about it. I've been praying for all involved in politics in our nation right now. We need to be praying for salvation, for evangelism, for a spirit of evangelism to be on D.C., that we would see more photographs. And as I'm scrolling my news feed, I'm happy to see Mike Johnson kneeling down with his whole team or on the floor praying and seeking God's counsel. I don't care what you think about Mike Johnson. He's in a very tough position right now. I would not want that job. but there's so much that's layered and complex and give and take and all. And so before you make heavy judgments on people like Mike and others, there are a lot of good Christian people standing their ground in politics. They'll never do it like you will. That's why they're there and you're not. And so we got to be careful when we judge things that we see in the news and think, oh, they're a sellout, or they should have stood when they didn't. They should have zagged and they zigged. And listen, that's like us watching a football game and telling Tom Landry. Anybody remember Tom Landry? How to coach the Dallas Cowboys, because we know better. You got to understand, they're on the field. They're on the gridiron. You're not. And we need to have grace for them and pray for them. Turn your frustration, your energy into prayer, and let funnel into the energy to pray, and say, God, give them wisdom. God, may they lead us well. May they lead us in a way that makes us want to follow and want to support. Amen? So just a little caveat there. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, this is God speaking, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You need to know that that was in the middle of a captivity season when that promise was given. It was in the middle of darkness. And you have to understand that God has something for us, something to look forward to. Amen? All right, thank you for three people. All in. Tomorrow begins our annual church-wide fast. We want to invite you there. I felt your enthusiasm as we've been promoting this. And listen, family, again, this is not, I want you to choose the kind of fast that works for you. And so I don't think God's picky. I think we get so legalistic that we think it's got to be this or that or whatever. If I don't do it this way, it's not right. Listen, you got to choose what allows you to be in a time of focus, and that's exactly what it is. Fasting's not going on a hunger strike, as Pastor Brian mentioned, to get God to do something. He is not impressed by our hunger. He's not moved by it. So here's what fasting is. It is a concentrated time for focusing on the purposes and plans of God. It's that simple. Fasting is for focus. It's to let you move some things aside that are typically going to draw your attention away. I got a growling stomach too. I get it. I love my refrigerator. I love firing up the pellet grill, the Pit Boss. I love it. But I just, for a season, I'm going to put some things aside that I would normally put time and energy into and be distracted by so that I can simply just focus. And here's what we want to ask. We want to ask you to concentrate on a couple of things, two categories to focus on during your fast. It was mentioned a little bit, a personal focus issue. What is it that's pressing in your life? What is it that you need a breakthrough for in 2025? I would say every one of us have a number of things, more than likely, but at least one or two things that you want to see moved, a big rock that needs to be moved, something that needs to happen, a wall that needs to be broken, something needs to be breached in order to break through into another season. We all have that. Find that and jot it down. Don't have to get elaborate with it, but some of us journal, some don't, but jot down what you are. And then every morning when you get up, get your eyes on that so you can remember, okay, this is why I'm fasting, because I've got to see breakthrough in this area. It could be family. It could be son or daughter spinning out. It could be a parent spinning out, for all we know, or a spouse. But we have personal things we want to see. The second thing is pray for a church issue. And I think one that we really need to highlight is what God is leading us to with this extension that we're about to build. And thank God for your generosity and all that. But as we get ready to build that so that we can serve families, one in five families in America right now who go to church can't go to church because churches are not equipped to handle special needs children. And we have a heart for that and a desire to meet that need. Now, we've got people advising us. We've got people in our church qualified to step up and who've said, I'll be there when we're ready. We're going to be breaking ground on it. Last week, I said we had the permits. I found out we had a permit to get the permits. There's a whole long, convoluted thing here. So we just got a letter back. I was excited about the letter. They were just saying, we've got your info, and we're working through it, so I don't know how long that'll take, but it's going to happen. So we'll be breaking ground on that this year and getting moving on that. So be praying for that. Let that be a part, because this is going to be, we believe it's going to be bigger than a Sunday morning thing. We believe it. How many of you know when you step into something in faith, it's often God gives you a piece of it, and when you take a step into it, you often find that it's bigger than you thought. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you know why God does that? Because he knows us. He knows that if he showed us the whole picture, we'd never take a first step. We would be overwhelmed by it. And so what God does, he gives us that first little inkling, that clue, that, you know, if God had told Abraham, listen, let me go ahead and give you the whole story. You're going to have a son. I'm going to make you sacrificing. But, oh, wait, I'm going to take back. It's not gonna, I mean, he had told him that whole long story. Oh, you're going to give birth to through a handmaiden to someone who's going to be an enemy of your son and your family for the rest of your life and for all of eternity in the earth, at least. You know, if he had told him all that, you think Abraham would have pulled up roots, moved his wife and family out to some unknown place? No, God gives you what you need in the moment. He's given us a clue, a step in, a first step, and we're going to take that step, and you're taking it with us, and as we do, God's going to open doors, but he'll do that for you too. That's what's exciting about following God in faith. Speaking of faith, what we're doing here, Pastor Brian and I were talking, we want to give you a taste of what we're doing on Wednesday night. I did the first 3 points of the life of faith last week, so we're going to pick up the next 4, and I want you to clue in. I want you to dial in. I want you to shake off whatever tiredness you've got. Shake the cobwebs off from the days of holiday. And now let's get focused and let's get on mission. Because I think that one of the things, and the reason I chose this topic particular at the beginning of the year, is that we need to step into 2025 with bold faith. Would you agree? How many of you think I could use some more faith? Okay. All right. Some of you don't need it because you already got it, I'm assuming, right? Now, most of you raise your hand. I appreciate that. Listen to this. The Bible says we live by faith, we walk by faith, and actually it's called the faith. God's pretty concerned about faith. Faith seems to be a big deal. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read that God... All right, do you have that scripture? We had it in the first service. There it is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is huge. I don't know about you, but I want to please my Father. Don't you? Don't you want to please God? I do. Well, he says that without faith, you can't even please him. Did you know that without faith, you can't be born again? Did you know that without faith, you cannot find your career calling? Did you know that without faith, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit? Everything God calls us to is an act of faith. It is energized by faith and fueled by faith. Faith is a driver in our life. The word faith appears in the New Testament 244 times. I think God is serious about this thing called faith. I want to show you a picture up here from one of my favorite pastors, Alan Jackson. He's out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Little bitty church of 15,000 plus people in Murfreesboro. If you know anything about Murfreesboro, it's amazing. Even that's a miracle. Murfreesboro is right outside of Nashville. He says this. He says, if you are willing to own your faith and do it with integrity, God will multiply your influence. How many of you would like to have your influence multiplied? Not about you, but your influence for God and the kingdom. He says, God will multiply your influence. You don't have to pray for a ministry. This is super, super important. A lot of times we want, God, show me what to do. Show me what to do. You don't have to pray for a ministry. You have to start with the influence you have and tell the truth. God wants us to be truth tellers. And we activate faith by telling the truth in the sphere of influence that God has given us. Your sphere of influence may be your dog and your cat at this point. Hey, speak the truth to your dog and your cat. I mean, if that's all you got, speak it. But God has given people into our lives. It may be family. It may be friends. It may be where you work. We always say where you live, work, and play. God has given you a sphere of influence, but we need to become truth tellers in those spheres of influence. Do you agree with that? Well, how do we do it? We do it by engaging with faith, believing and trusting God. Quick review on last week, first point last week on what faith is. Number one, faith is total trust in God's character. At the end of the day, it comes back to trust, and that trust is in the very character and nature of God. He is either faithful or he's not. There is no in-between on this. He is either faithful to his promises, faithful to his word, or he's not. He can either be trusted or he can't. It's not sometimes yes, sometimes no. Do you trust him? And that is what faith is based on, the character, the nature of God, and our ability to trust him in that. Number two was, faith is complete confidence in this book. The word confidence means conviction. It means to be convinced. And when you're confident in something, you are convicted about it. You're convinced that it is so. It is true. And the question is, are you convinced? Are you convicted? Are you confident that God's word is what it says it is? And you have to have complete confidence in this word in order to fulfill God's calling in faith. Number three is, faith is agreeing with God's word even when it is contrary to circumstances. I may be the only human in this room, but I got to tell you, it is very rare that everything in my life lines up with everything in this book. Most often, there are things that are not congruent for me. It may be a decision I made, a behavior I have, a thought that I think. It could be a lot of different things, but very rarely does my life line up, which means I've got to make a decision. Am I going to go the way my life goes and try to get God's book to line up with my life and overlay my life with my pet verses, my favorite verses? You know, I got to go to the gym on Monday, so I'm going to Philippians 4:13. I mean, come on now. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Lord's gym. Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. Listen, God's word is so much deeper and so much bigger than our pet verses. Can I get an amen? I don't want to take God's word and try to make it be an overlay into the things that I like to do. What we have to do is come to God with a decision we've already made. And that decision is yes, Lord. That decision is yes. And then the question comes, what do you want me to do? Yes, Lord, what do you want me to say? Yes, Lord, where do you want me to go? Yes, Lord, what do you want me to write? How about this one? Yes, Lord, what do you want me to post? Social media would be a whole different world if we ever did that, wouldn't it? If all of us did. What is it you want me to get out there? What is it you want me to do, my sphere of influence? I want to just give you a statement, then we're going to move on. When our circumstances stand in opposition to what God has clearly said, promised to us, and provided for us, faith declares that our situation must come into agreement and alignment with the will of God. There it is. I read the book, but at the end of the day, the book has to read me. And I have to align myself with what this book says. Can I get an amen or an oh my? Amen. Can be an oh my sometimes. Listen to this. Point number four, it'd be number one today, but it's number four. Here it is. Faith is seeing the unseen. Faith is seeing the unseen. Hebrews 11:27, listen to this. By faith, he, Abraham, left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Abraham was called by God. He didn't see God. He didn't see anything. He didn't know what, but God spoke to him and said, gather your stuff, gather everything you have, your family, and go to a land I will show you. He didn't know where he was going, but God said, go. And so Abram at the time, he packed up his stuff and went. He did exactly what God told him to do. Why? Because in his mind, in his spirit, his mind's eye, he could see that God had a destination, God had a plan, and he trusted the nature and character of God, what he knew of him, which was very little at the time. But he trusted him enough to know that whatever he tells him to do, he must do. And that Igbach, it's going to be okay. Not that he had been to Puckett's in Franklin, Tennessee, but he knew, he understood, he had something in his heart, his mind, it's called faith, where he trusted that it's going to be okay if I follow him. If I obey that voice. And the question is, are we that way? Are we wired to obey? I don't know about you, but I'm just going to be real with you. I tend to say, I need to pray on that. I need to sleep on that. I need to think about that. And I will put that before Jesus, and then we'll do the next thing he says. But there was a time in my life in a much younger, much more brash, much more impulsive me that, man, if I read something and I thought God said it, I did it. Brian Head Welch, lead guitar player for a band called Korn, you may have heard of him, got radically saved. You know what the first thing he did? The first thing is he quit the band. Everybody lost their mind when he quit the band. The second thing is they were filling arenas and stadiums at the time. He quit the band, and he read God's word, and in it he saw where God said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. You know what he did? He gave away everything. His goal at that point was, I'm going to go get me a tent, and I'm going to go with a Peace Corps or some third world ministry, and I'm going to go live in a desert and serve poor people. I mean, this guy who had filled up stadiums, had everything given to him, lived his life on a tour bus, money, everything. And they did everything. And he said, I'm just going to go. He gave away millions of dollars. He literally broke himself. Later, as he began to mature in his faith, he realized that was a little presumptuous. But he was just doing what he read. He read the Bible and just literally went, oh, I need to go do this. And he did it. Hey, I think God honors faith even when it's immature. Because what happened was he came, circled back around. I got to hear him speak at, when I was working for Dave Ramsey, I got to hear him speak at one of our chapel services. In fact, I have a tear stain on this Bible cover because I had this in my lap like this, and I felt something hit my Bible. I looked down, and it was a drop of water. I realized I was crying. A tear just listening to him share his story. What he was sharing in part that made me cry was he was trying to be this guy walking in faith, embracing God, and he was telling stories about how many churches were turning him away and how he was getting castigated online and because he didn't look like the typical Christian clean-cut guy. I'll tell you what, that guy's borne some fruit. Interesting thing is God told him to go back in the band, and he did. And if you've ever seen any of the videos that Darren can't remember Darren's last name, but he put out a series of movies on the Holy Spirit. And in one of those, Todd White, if you know who Todd White is, he's a radical evangelist. Todd White teams up with Feldy, which is the bass player from Korn, and Brian, and they go out before a Korn concert, and they start ministering to all the people waiting in line and preaching the gospel to them. By the way, he's continued to do that. Laying hands on the sick, laying hands on people with addictions, and God lifting it off of them in the moment. What did he do? He learned to obey God's word. Instead of making the word an option, he believed it as a new believer, and he stepped out and he bore massive fruit. Same thing with Abraham. He saw the unseen. He saw something before him, and he trusted God. Hebrews 11:13. Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame. We'd call it the Hall of Fame. It's the Hall of Faith, which is where all the heroes and the rock stars of faith show up in Hebrews chapter 11. It says this, these all died in faith. There were some that were followers of God, and they died in their faith. And look what it says, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. This is an interesting concept. Even though some of them in this lifetime did not get the answer to their faith and what God had shown them, they saw it from afar, and it impacted their lives. It impacted their fruit. It impacted their behavior. It impacted the things they did. And they actually got a place on the roster of the Hall of Faith because they believed God, even though they didn't see his promise in this lifetime. Why? Because they were trusted. They trusted God, and it was accredited to them as righteousness, we would say. Now, that's faith. Listen to this. Faith allows God to paint a picture in your heart through the promise in his word that becomes a tangible reality to your spirit and soul before seeing and experiencing it in the flesh. In other words, when you believe by faith, there's a picture. and you begin to see what was unseen. It's a promise that begins to, it's almost like a connect the dot, or if you got an out of focus projector and it starts to come into focus over time, as you grow in that, things become more clear. But in the beginning, it may be very, very thin. But it's something that you hold on to and you say, no, I believe God told me. I believe God showed me this. About a year and a half ago, we did a series called Heaven in the Real World, where I did a series on heaven. I'd never preached on a whole series on heaven. I'd hit on it from time to time, but never just did a study on it. And I'm telling you guys, it ignited something in me. I began to get a picture of what heaven's going to look like. Not exactly. I mean, my goodness, the descriptions in Scripture are wild. They're fantastical. They're mind-boggling. But it energized me. And what I noticed is that anything that was even loosely connected to fear just fell off my life. I just became unafraid. Not afraid of anything. In fact, looking back on it, I see how that also fed into me beginning to engage culture very directly and not be afraid and not worry about what people think, not worry about being liked, but I'd rather be respected than liked at this point in my life. And so I begin to address things. But part of it had to do with that series I did on heaven, because I know where I'm going to go when I die. In fact, that year we had seven funerals that year. Seven. The beauty of that was all of them were in faith. All of them were in Christ. So every funeral became an opportunity to talk about heaven. And I found myself, Annette will tell you this, I told Annette, I said, this is weird, but I'm enjoying doing funerals. I know. Not that because I'm morbid. I'm not. Not because I'm macabre. I'm none of those things. It's because I know if they were in Christ, I know where they are. I know what they're seeing. I know what they're experiencing. I mean, even when our own beloved Bill Loveless passed away, I talked with him on the phone a couple of weeks before he passed, and he was like, Jimmy, I'm seeing things. God's showing me things about heaven. I mean, he was lit up. I'd never seen him more excited about anything in my life, and that man was excited about identity in Christ and who his true source was. But when he saw the glory of God and began to see with the eyes of faith, God gave him a picture. Just like this says, you get a picture of what's coming. Even though he couldn't see it in the natural, he saw it in the Spirit. Walking by faith will lead you in God's timing. Say that out loud with me. In God's timing. One more time. In God's timing. This is a critical piece. Most of the time when we pray and we feel like God said no, it's not always a no, it's a not now. Don't be so quick to throw something out because it didn't get answered tomorrow. What if it's just a not now or a not for now? Walking by faith will lead you in God's timing to the full experience of that which has been previously unseen. Here's what happens as we read God's word. And it begins to read us. It begins to paint a picture in us. I'm telling you, 2025 for you ought to be the year of reading the Bible. It ought to be the year that I'm going to get into this word. I'm going to let this word get into me. And I'm not only going to read it, I'm going to allow the word of God to read me. There's all kinds of things you can do out there. I've decided this year I'm going to use the Founders Bible reading plan. So I'm into several chapters in Genesis right now, and I'm reading all the historical pieces with that. And it's just already it's lighting me back up. I was telling Annette, I couldn't stop talking about it the other day, all the stuff that happens there early in Genesis. What I want to, though, is I don't want to just read the Bible, and I don't want to just check boxes as I go. I want the book to read me. I want the book to speak to me. I want it to begin to inform the picture I see of what God's up to and what he wants to do in my life and in this church here. Number five, faith is acting on the word. Okay, let me just be real clear. It's really not faith unless you act on it. All day long when you say, I believe God's going to do this, or I believe God told me this, but until we step out into it, it's not faith. It's a good idea. It's a nice thought, but it becomes faith when you actually step out into it. It becomes faith when you step out over the cliff and you believe and trust. I don't recommend you do that. I'm just using it as an illustration. But when you step out, you've got to believe if God called me to it, God showed me a picture of it, then when I take that step, whatever, when my foot lands, it's going to land on something solid. Faith means we are not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what's going on around us. Faith plants us. It plants our feet. Listen, I know what it means to be moved. I was 140 pounds dripping wet in high school. And I was a beanpole. And I grew up in West Texas. I have some West Texans here. They'll get this. I know what it means to be sandblasted in the spring in West Texas. I know what it means to have grit in my teeth for a couple of months. I know what it means to be blown around and around and around. I know what it means to have 45-mile sustained winds for a day or two. And to walk out and feel very unstable, especially as a 140-pound dripping wet football player in high school. And just, man, I mean, the wind would blow us around. But let me tell you something. When you plant and you begin to act on God's word, you see where it's going, you see where it's taking, you see what it's producing in you, and then what happens is you become firmly planted. And now nothing will move you except the word of God. No critic will move you. No one coming against you will move you. In fact, all it will do is get you to get your feet in deeper. This is where you line up and you get ready to take the hit. But it's okay, you won't be moved. We live in a world where we so value everyone's feelings. Well, I feel. And we've got to be careful now because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings in the world we live in today. Man, I just don't remember my head coach worrying about my feelings when I was playing sports. I don't remember any of my teachers worrying about my feelings when I got that assignment that I didn't want to do. I don't know. Miss King, I mean, I don't know. She might have been a sociopath for all I know. I mean, she didn't care what we thought about her. I mean, it was a different day where our feelings weren't the main thing because things needed to get done. And we had to learn to override how I felt in the moment to do the right thing and get done what needs to be done. Oh, God, let us return a little bit back to that. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Tiptoeing around people. We were on a staff one time, Annette and I, together, and the staff was full of young people out of college and young, and I mean everybody. It was all about their feelings. They even did meetings where they would group them up in groups and check on everybody, and they had a table captain. They would check on how does everybody feel, and I was sitting there going, are you kidding me? What? I came out of a church planting movement where nobody cared how you felt. I mean, it was like being on a football team, like on the NFL or something. But this church was stuck. And it was a large church with a large staff. They were stuck because they spent more time checking in on everybody's feelings than they did getting the work of the kingdom done. Oh, left those meetings frustrated. You know, when I went to work for Dave Ramsey, the first meeting I went to, it was my friend Brian Bush, who's now he's one of my best friends, but he's also one of our board of directors and a pastor as well in Tennessee. And he had warned me, he was my supervisor. He says, Jimmy, about once a year, Dave kind of lowers the boom on the whole organization. He just kind of tightens the ship down and he sort of shakes the tree to see who falls away. He goes, we'll probably do one. So, you know, just giving you a heads up. And I'm like, hey, I'm a big boy. We go in that day to the meeting and I was sitting by Brian, he leans up. He goes, I think today's the day. I said, how do you know? He goes, I just see the look on Dave's face. He says, this could be the day. It was the day. And he lowered the boom on the whole organization. He told them he was the boss. He owned the company. They worked for him. They're on his time. And the whole time I wanted to stand up and shout, amen, come on. But boy, nobody else was up. People were crying. I'm not lying. People were crying. I'm looking around going, what is going on here? And Brian said, Are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I get back into the office, then the big supervisor comes over, Ken Mundy. He goes, are you okay, Jimmy? Hey, I know where the boundaries are. I appreciate it. I was an athlete. This is like, I'm right at home here. I know what not to do to tick Dave Ramsey off. But you know what? I loved working there because I knew the boundaries. I knew the clarity. Why? Because he wasn't worried about our feelings. Family, faith is acting on the word, not on your feelings. And the word of God will violate your feelings consistently. In fact, this word will offend you. Do you know Jesus was offensive? I mean, when Jesus showed up, people got their feelings hurt. I'm just saying. But we somehow think that because he's the Lamb of God, that we forget he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We want the Lamb over the Lion. I don't know about you. I want to hear the Lion roar, don't you? Please roar over our nation. Roar over our government. Roar over our schools. Roar over this transition of power that's already trying to be obstructed and messed with, which we saw that coming. It's no mystery. James 2:21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith, verse 22, was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Here's what you need to understand. We don't do works in order to get faith or to get favor. We do works only when faith is present. Works birth out of faith, not the other way around. So you walk by faith, and as you do that, there are things to be done. And that is where we activate our faith. Abraham was justified by his works. Bible also says he was justified by faith. Look what it says. And the scripture was fulfilled. It says, Abraham believed God. Just out loud say, I believe God. You don't need to believe Jimmy Pruitt. Listen, I will let you down. I'll make you a promise. I'm going to let some of you down. It's the hazard of leadership. I will make a decision. You may think I'm the best thing since sliced bread until I make a decision you don't like. Or you bring me an idea and I go, that won't work. We can't do that. We're not called to that. And then suddenly you won't like me. Anybody in leadership gets this. There's always going to be a critic, always going to be someone who doesn't like your decisions. That's just the cost of being a leader. And you either learn to grow a thick skin or you don't stay a leader. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteous, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Why? Because faith will always produce works. It'll produce something. It'll produce fruit. It'll produce action. Faith must be activated. Can I get an amen? Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son. Abraham had seen and had received the promise, saw it. Now he has his son, and yet here he is in the very act of offering up when God said do it, even though it looked like it violated the promise. Abraham trusted God over the circumstance, and he's holding the knife over his son. And I'm sure in his mind he's saying, please let there be a trap door. Please let there be something. And there actually was. God showed up. He saw it. And he trusted God in it. Number six, faith is giving a good report. There were 12 spies sent out by Moses into the land of Canaan. They went over pre-taking over the land. God had spoken. He had given them a promise. And the promise was, that land over there, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Canaan is yours. He forgot to mention, you're still going to have to fight for it. We struggle with this. When we believe when God gives a promise, he's going to drop it in our lap, and we're just waiting for it, and it doesn't come. Why? Because we have to fight for it. We have to move on it. We have to act on it. God's not going to drop something in your lap. He'll give you a promise, but then you will have to exercise faith to obtain and to acquire that promise. That's a revelation for somebody right here today, because some of you are still waiting. You're just, your hands are out, but nothing's happening. Numbers 13, Caleb. Remember, Joshua and Caleb came back and gave a good report. The rest of the 10 were like, oh, no. Here's that. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. The reason Caleb said we can occupy this is because God said they were going to. He trusted God. He took God at his word. And look at the response. Oh, talk about a popular response. Then the men who had gone up with him, this is verse 31, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Verse 32, so they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out, it is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height or great stature. Verse 33, and there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, the giants, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. See, they projected how they saw themselves. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They projected themselves as just little insects in front of these massive giants, and so they were in their eyes. But not Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were like, we're well able to do this. Why? Because God said it. We're well able to stand our ground. Why? Because God said it. Because we're standing on truth. Because we're standing on righteousness. Because we're standing on justice. Why? Because God said it. There will come a time when you will have to take a stand for something. And it'll be something God said. Or it'll be a principle that God's word covers. And it's right underneath the canopy of God's word. And you will have to stand. A good report means choosing God's assessment of the situation over others or your own. Note this, it will often leave you in the minority opinion. So before we went on sabbatical, I preached a sermon called Take a Stand. And I knew it was going to be strong. I felt like the Lord was very clear. I brought the message, and then we walked out the door for 2 months on sabbatical. I was like, maybe the dust will be settled by the time we get back. You're welcome. So I turned over the apple cart and left. I came back, but God did something deep in Annette and I during the sabbatical. I mean, spoke clarity, put things before us, gave us clarity on the season we're stepping into. And one of the things he told me I was going to do is that I was going to take a stand. I was going to do exactly what I said in that message. And I did a message a couple of two or three weeks after coming out of the sabbatical called We Don't Lean, We Stand, where I gave 16 points of the things we stand for. We stand for justice. We stand for life. We stand for man and a woman. We stand for we stand for truth. And that morning, there were about 600 people between both services, and people, you, started just standing as I were reading. That was not a response I asked for. I didn't even expect it. Didn't see it coming. It happened in the first service, and people just started popping up as I said, we stand for the right to bear arms. We stand for the right to protect our borders. We stand for, and as I did, people stood. And of course, the byline of that whole message was, we don't lean, we stand. I honestly, before I preached that message, I didn't know if I was about to blow this church up. I mean, in a bad way, like, maybe nobody will come back the next week. I'm about to offend a bunch of people because I know how these issues can be near and dear to our heart depending on our life's experience. But I made up my mind coming out of a sabbatical, I was going to go with this no matter what it costs me. No matter what. And to be transparent with you, some people did leave the church. Most of them not mad. I mean, there was nobody just like, you know, taking my toys and going home, blah, you know, none of that. Mostly just people quietly drifted away. And I appreciate that. But I'm fully aware that taking a stand, it will often leave you in the minority opinion. But I'm going to say what Joshua and what Caleb said. Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. I believe we're going to take this nation back. I believe we're going to move it back to the values that it was built upon, and that we're going to see things change. I believe 2025 is going to be a year of evangelism where we're going to see unprecedented numbers of people come to faith in Jesus Christ. We're already seeing it in the sporting world. My gosh. You couldn't watch the end of a college football game this week without somebody preaching the gospel. Even though once they tried to keep them off the platform, we saw that. That was interesting. But I'm telling you, something is happening. God is moving across our land right now. If there's ever a time to stand, you're standing on really good ground right now. I mean, catch the wave, catch the momentum, and use it for your sphere of influence and act on this word. Bring a good report to your sphere of influence. Let me tell you how good God is. I'm talking about to the people that you influence. Let me tell you how amazing God is. Let me tell you what God showed me last week. Let me tell you what I read in the Bible this week in my time as I'm reading through the Bible this year. Let me share with you what God did for me. Let me tell you how good God's been. Bring a good report. Because right now, the culture is bringing a lot of bad reports. There are even good people out there, but for clicks, likes, and monetization of their website and their web pages, they're bringing bad reports. I'm tired of seeing breaking news, give me a break. Everybody's saying breaking news. Well, I got breaking news for you. Let's go up and occupy the land God told us to occupy. It's the land in which we walk in and live in right now. America, it's here right now. We have a chance in a window of mercy and opportunity that God's given us. And we are well able to do it. Why? Because I believe that America is not a good idea that God blessed. I believe America is a God idea that He's given us to steward. Let's steward it well while we have this window. I'll land with this one. The last one is that faith is a decision that never wavers. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Get the picture. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's the simple explanation there is that the word unstable or the word double-minded means to be tossed between two opinions. They can't land on anything. They're wishy-washy, back and forth, can't make a decision, can't take a stand. Because have you ever had been paralyzed, paralysis of analysis, where you can't ever make a decision because there's too much, you don't have all the information? There will come a time in your life where you'll have to walk by faith in a given decision, and you will have to go with what you know. You'll have to go with what you have, and that may mean you're going to take a step in faith, and you may have to make a decision that you may not have all the information on. Some of you are there right now. I know it because I can feel it as I'm saying it prophetically. There's somebody listening to this. God's been speaking to you about something, and you're supposed to take a step, but you haven't yet because you're thinking, I don't have all the information. I don't have enough confirmation. Well, let this be your confirmation. I just preached 7 points on faith, and that was for you. Amen. So somebody here is supposed to take a step. I don't know who it is. And listen, you got to step as the Lord leads you, but I have a feeling He's already spoken to you, but you're hedging, you're wavering. Plant your feet and decide, I will not be moved by opinions. I'll not be moved by resistance. I will not be moved by critics. I will not be moved by the appearance of failure. You know, many of the greatest faith enterprises God will call you into, the first outing of that will look like a failure. It's a test. Will you quit? But God said, He sent the spies over. They came back and said, we can't do this. There is no way. They have fortified cities over there with walls around them and giants in the land. And did you know that thousands of one generation had to die before they could cross over into the glory, into the promised land? Because of unbelief. How about we be believing believers, family? How about that? How about 2025 finds us believing God and saying, I'm a believer and I'm a believing believer. I'm not an imposter. I'm not a fake. I'm not a phony. I believe God. I trust Him at His word. I will take Him at His word. And let's set a new precedent for 2025. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to invite our worship team to make their way up. We're going to go out with worship today. New year. Let it be a year of new faith, newfound, new, your faith expanding, your faith growing, your capacity getting bigger. You becoming bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Let 2025 be that year for you. A year where you will stand. A year where you will not be moved. A year where you will believe. Father, we honor You. We honor Your word and honor what You're teaching us. We're listening. We're listening. Our hearts are listening. Our spirits are listening. Our minds are listening. Speak to us right now and right where you are, right where you're sitting. If I was sitting in your seat, I would want this to happen. I would want to be challenged to invite the Holy Spirit to illumine and to enlighten, to like highlight or daylight things in my life that I need to focus on right now. So I'm asking now as a favor for all of us, Holy Spirit, would You daylight things in us that You want us to see right here, right now, in this moment? Maybe it's a faith well that got dug and then they got covered over, but it's time to redig that well. Maybe it's a project. Maybe it's something that an enterprise You invited us into and we put You off and we said, no, we refused the breakthrough. So, Lord, I'm asking by Your Spirit You would highlight right now daylight things in our heart, even as we're in a posture of prayer before You. Show us things. Show us wonderful things that You're calling us into, not in presumption, but in faith, standing on Your word, trusting You with wisdom, with maturity, with the guidance of Your Holy Spirit, step by step. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen and amen.